You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, June 7th, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It is Friday. We're wrapping up the work week. Funny Fridays. We're going to try to have a humorous discussion to wrap up your week. As always, I start off reminding you of our Sven Longshanks support links. We continue to have those here on the Daily Nationalist. I appreciate all of you who have dropped Sven an email, postcard, whatever. I encourage you to continue to do so. It is very much appreciated. He appreciates it. I appreciate all of us here, Radio Albion, appreciate your continued support. It's easy to forget these things, you know, when the new wears off, but we're not going to forget Sven. We're going to keep on keeping him in our thoughts and prayers. Also, I'm going to continue giving a technical updates here on the site. Again, the contact us button at the top doesn't work. That was the chat room. The chat room is non-functional. This moment just is what it is. Also, there is some glitchy stuff with the downloads on your player. If your three vertical buttons on the player that usually you can click and it has the download option, that's not working, but that's not a big deal. Right below the player, it is written out download. Click on that. It'll pop open a new tab. You'll have three vertical buttons there. You can go on and download. So that will still work. We're going to keep the basics working as best as we can. So yeah, it is Funny Friday, and I've actually got an article we're going to start off with, but I'm going to get into a lot of the topics of the week, just various observations and things that I can find a certain amount of humor in. Now, our first article today, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'm doing it because we continue boldly going where no man ought to go. We continue boldly going through Pride Month. It does seem kind of like they've kind of toned the Pride Month down. You know, it seems like in recent years past, I mean, everything on the TV, everything was nonstop, just nonstop rainbow stuff. It seems a little toned down, but it is still a thing. We're still having to go on, still being subjected to it. So in celebration of Pride Month, I do have an article here. This is from NBC News via Yahoo News. And the headline is, first case of rare sexually transmitted form of ringworm reported in the U.S. A sexually transmitted ringworm caused by rare fungus has been reported for the first time in the United States. The case report published Wednesday in JAMA Dermatology by doctors at NYU Langone Health in New York City comes as clinicians worldwide increasingly say they're having trouble treating fungal infections. We think a lot about antibacterial resistance, but this is a very important time for us to think about antifungus resistance, said Mahmoud Ghanom, a professor of dermatology at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine in Cleveland. He was not involved with the new report. The new case involves a New York City man in his 30s who reported having sex with multiple men during a trip to England, Greece, and California. When he got home, he developed a red, itchy rash on his legs and across his groin and buttocks. Tests revealed he had a sexually transmitted fungus called Trichophyton mentagrophytes. I probably didn't say that type. Let's say that correctly. Type 7. It's not just type 1. It's not type 2, 3, 4, 5. No, it's type 7. It is the first time the fungus has been identified in the U.S. And last year, doctors in France reported 13 such cases. Out of the 13, 12 of those patients were men who have sex with men. So as we celebrate Pride, we can think about all the new interesting. It's like every time you read about a new interesting sexually transmitted disease, like when I first saw this headline and clicked on the story, I already knew what the money shot line was going to be. And I didn't have to go very far. So this guy, New York City man in his 30s, he went to England, Greece, and California and reported having sex with multiple men. Multiple. They don't give us an exact number, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. We just get multiple. So the fact that they're not giving us, like, you know, an actual number, I think we can go ahead and take a wild guess that the number is a lot. Of course, it is Pride Month. And, you know, we have to, he was probably just, he was looking, he went to Greece, England, California, had sex with multiple men. We're going to just go out on a limb and say more, 10 or more, because we don't know. I don't know, but we're just guessing because they don't give us a number. I don't know why the number is secret. We'll say 10 or more. But I suppose, hey, you know, he was just out there looking for a soulmate. That's what everybody does, you know? I mean, they try to always frame this, you know, to normies as, you know, it's no different. You know, whether the topic was the gay marriage stuff or the adoption stuff, whatever, they always frame it in this whole thing of, you know, well, they're just like you or me. They just happen. And on TV, they promote this, you know, the quote unquote gay couples on TV. They're always just like the regular heterosexual couples, except it just happens to be two guys. See, it's just like they're no different. This lifestyle is no different than yours. They just happen to just do the same sex thing. When they're looking for their soulmate, they travel to three different countries and have sex with, I don't know, 10 or more dudes. How else are you going to find your homosexual soulmate? I think it's like they try to create this false reality. And it's always important to focus on what we're actually talking about. I'm not, you know, we don't talk about these things to be vulgar and crude or anything like that. But it is important to, you know, nail down and understand exactly what they're talking about. I said on a recent story, I said, you know, we're talking about this topic because it is Pride Month and you kind of can't get away from it. And I said, you know, when they talk about this, they should force everybody to watch a 30-second or a minute-long clip of, like, hardcore homosexual pornography or something, and everybody would just be like, ah, they don't do that, because they're trying to create this other narrative that it isn't all revolve around this sort of activity. Heterosexual people, by and large, don't go traveling to three different countries and have sex with 10 or more dudes. I mean, that's just not the way it generally works. And yet they try to portray this as, oh, it's no different. It's the same. It's the same as you. He's just looking for his soulmate in various, I don't know, bathhouses or wherever the hell they go. I don't know. You know, how else is he going to find his lifelong partner? He's just looking for the right one to get married to and settle down. Get a house with a house with a white picket fence. You know, how else are you going to find his perfect soulmate? As he goes to the bathhouse or wherever the hell they go. This narrative. Like I said, it does seem kind of me. I don't know if it's just me. But it seems to me like they've kind of toned it down a little bit this year. Maybe they're trying, you know, to kind of tone that down. They're going to need you to get in. They got this war program going. I'm sure they've done multiple, you know, focus groups and research. Found out that nobody is going to, you know, their recruiting numbers are down for the military. And if they institute a draft, nobody real anxious to go fight for gay anal in the Donbass. So it seems to me like they kind of toned it down a little bit. I was surprised. I was watching a local news the other day and there was a commercial on. And I mean, it was a Ford pickup commercial. And I was shocked. I was shocked because the commercial featured like white guys in it, like masculine white guys doing white guy things in pickup trucks. And I haven't seen an ad like that, I don't think, in 30 years. So that was somewhat refreshing. I think a lot of times this stuff, though, these stories really serve as a distraction. And this speaks to the cultural problems, you know, that we have in this quote-unquote society. Is not really a society, but we use that term. And we'll talk about it. You know, we talked about this little story. You can't completely ignore it. At the same time, I really, a lot of this stuff is, I think, a distraction. I mean, you look at the Republicans. You have all this problem. They don't do anything. Whether it's the Tories in Britain or the Republicans here in the U.S., the one common denominator the conservatives have is they don't do a damn thing. They whine. They're no different than the Democrats. They hold hearings and they posture and they make grandiose media clip statements so that people replay them on YouTube. You know, the approved conservative commentariat can play their clips where they were having a congressional hearing and really gave Dr. Fauci the what for and whatever other crap. But they don't actually do anything. They whine about the border and then, you know, try to posture that they're really trying to come up with. They're going to pass some legislation to deal with this pressing issue of transgenders playing women's sports. I mean, who really gives a shit? I mean, yes, it's a thing where you can say, well, wow, this is a sign that this so-called society is in some form of decay. But it's a distraction. Is it the most pressing issue? You know, really, is it? I don't really care about transgenders in women's sports. But that they make this a centerpiece issue. This is something that's harmless. I don't say harmless in the sense that, again, it's harmless that they can pass laws and threaten to pass laws and really put up a fight. Where on these other issues that really are more pressing, they do nothing. I mean, they're going to stand there and they'll posture about we're going to pass some sort of legislation to tackle the problem of transgenders and what bathroom they use. Meanwhile, they're inviting Netanyahu to come speak for, I think it's the fourth time. And they'll probably fly the Israeli flag in the supposed U.S. Congress behind him, and they'll all stand and give standing ovations over and over for this guy, who by all rights is busy, you know, is genociding the Palestinians. Now, one of the points of Funny Fridays is, you know, the topics we talk about here. You know, you look at this and say, well, that's not really funny. You're talking about them inviting Netanyahu and how they're worthless and these politicians are worthless and yet they pretend to do it. That's pretty serious. I'm telling you, you just got to laugh at it. You know, you got to laugh at how absurd this is because they want you to take it serious. They do. They when they get their clips that they play on the news, or they're standing there pointing their finger, talking about, you know, what they're grilling. If they're grilling Zuckerberg and talking about how dare you do censorship of conservative viewpoints, when they themselves know good and well that the FBI and these other government agencies are telling Facebook, Twitter, or whoever the hell else who to ban and who to censor, they know that's going on, and they'll sit up there and act like, oh, they're doing something. Once in a while, they'll drag the FBI director up there and give him a hard time. They don't do anything. They sit there and tell him he's a horrible human being, and they might even call him some names as long as they get their sound clips. They don't do anything. Oh, but the president gets to choose the FBI director. I can guarantee you if the Congress said, until they get rid of this guy, we're cutting all funding, there will be zero money to the FBI, and we don't give a shit. I guarantee you he'd be gone tomorrow. You know, they're not powerless. They play this game like, oh, we're powerless. We really want to do something, but we just can't. But maybe, just maybe, if you'll send us some money and vote harder next time, we might do something maybe someday in the future. And trust me, I've been around longer than a lot of you, and they never do anything. I've been alive when there was a Republican in the presidency, and they controlled the House and the Senate, and they didn't do a damn thing more than what they're doing today. It doesn't matter. You just got to laugh at it because it is. It's so stupid. You know, it's like the media. The media plays a big role in this. I don't know how many people are left that actually believe the media. I know their numbers are actually lower, I think, than the politicians. I mean, it's always interesting when the media has a story come out, you know, oh, the Congress rates this low in approval rating, but they never mention the parts of the polls that throw the media in there too, because they actually rank lower than the politicians, which is in and of itself quite an achievement. I suppose there's people who believe them, but all segments of the media, everything has segregated. In other words, the people that watch the mainstream media are people that believe in all of this crap, and so they cheerlead it on. And then you have the approved conservative media, like the Ben Shapiro types or whatever. People, a lot of conservative commentators that are allowed to be on YouTube and allowed to have big followings. You know, they have their audience that they cater to that cheerleads them. And I guess you could say we do the same thing in Radio Albion. We have our audience that we cater to. Now, the difference is I would say that we try not to do a distraction. We try to focus on truth here as best we can, where these other media outlets, the mainstream media in particular, their job is not to inform people. It's to distract them. It's to deceive them. So much of the media is centered around, you know, distracting. I laugh at it because it's so absurd. Because I read various sources so I can see what's going on in the world. Because heaven forbid, if you just watch the network news, you would have no clue what's going on in the world. And that's part of one of the things that's just funny. Because when you look at different sources and different news sources around the world, and you can get an idea, at least a grasp of some of the things that are going on. And then I'll watch my 90 seconds of what's supposedly important for me to know, because it's so important. You're only going to have that 90 seconds. So you need to get the TLDR from the media of what I need to know about today. What is important? Now, you watch this in the context of, like, this morning, for instance, I'm watching it. And, you know, I'm in the back of my mind, I have the context of Russia has already said they're going to start arming nations that are hostile to the U.S. They're going to go conduct military exercises off the coast of the U.S. down in the Caribbean. They're sailing ships. You know, and you can say, oh, well, that's just all bluster. It may or may not be, but it's important. It's relevant to know. They're saying these things. They're saying, you know, it's not impossible. We're not out of the realm of possibility of nuclear war. People get bogged down into that's, you know, what percentage of a chance is there of that actually happening? That's missing the point. When you're talking about, you know, nukes could be launched, it doesn't matter if it's just a 5% chance. Is it worth it? Is it worth threatening and escalating over a border dispute in an old Soviet republic? You know, most people would say, no, it's not. But you see these things and you read these things, you know, all these things are going on in the world. And what is the most important thing I need to know? What are some of the news tidbits I need to know? It's National Donut Day. It's national. You don't need to know about nuclear war, the fact that Joe Biden obviously doesn't know where he is most of the time. It's National Donut Day. That's what you need. It's National Donut Day. Hey, let's all go out and buy Krispy Kreme or whatever. Whatever the hell else. That's what you need to know about. The economy's failing. I saw a deal. They were just shocked. They're shocked. These people, you wonder how much they're really shocked and how much that's just bullshit. But I think there may be shock because they live in their little bubble. They live in their bubble. And their bubble says, we have statistics right here. We have statistics that say, actually, y'all are a bunch of stupid goys. Y'all don't know that the economy is doing really great. But then they'll come out with a survey and says, for some reason, consumer spending is down. We wonder why. Well, because nobody's got any money. Everything's too expensive. Yeah, consumer spending is going to be down when you go to buy something and it costs $100 and you've only got $50 in your bank account. You're not going to buy it. They know that most people are buying groceries, gas, in other words, consumable items with their credit cards. How long can that go into? Don't worry, it's National Donut Day. And oh my gosh, look here, we've got another gay pride story for you to look at. Or transgenders in the restroom, or whatever the hell else, other distraction that you need to care about. Economy failing, war, don't worry about that. We're having an awards show in Hollywood that nobody's going to watch. And look, all these Hollywood people are going to be there. Their fake smiles. Got to be there. Here you go. Dangle it in front of you. This past week, it was the anniversary of D-Day. And the Joe Biden. Of course, they showed a clip this morning. And, you know, in Joe Biden, in one of his, they have to cut and edit, you know, to make him appear sentient. You watch these other clips and he can't find his chair and he's trying to sit down and Jill's standing there going, "Don't sit down yet, Joe." What do you mean? Don't sit down. Stand up, Joe. Stand up. Don't sit down. I got it. The media clips out and finds the one, you know, little sound bite where he sounded like he was sentient. And of course, he's using D-Day as a platform to threaten more war. As if, you know, World War II was so great and awesome. We need to have another world war, which is, in a sense, it's an asymmetric. It's not like what you imagine, like you see World War II. You know, it's a different sort of war, but there is a global war already going on. And the U.S., by the way, is losing. But don't worry, it's it's National Donut Day. D-Day celebrations. And it always amazes me because they've still got some veterans that they roll out there. These poor guys got to be pushing 100 years old. It's been 80 years since D-Day. These guys got to be all pushing 100 years old. It's going to be a race to see what they run out of first. D-Day vets or Holocaust survivors? It's just, we don't know. The clock's a ticking. They do this D-Day celebration. Macron is up there promising more war. Biden's up there threatening more wars. It's just kind of another platform. You know, World War II was so great and grandiose that we need to continue to escalate against Russia, against Putin. He's the next Hitler. I was thinking about this. In a lot of ways, the U.S. is like a woman, a scorned woman who's way past her prime, you know, and she's just trying to relive her glory days, you know. She doesn't get the attention. You know, because a lot of whole rest of the world is really starting to ignore her now. You know, she's throwing a fit. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's still got her beta orbiters in Western Europe that follow her around. But the Chads, everybody else, they don't give her the attention she once has. She's hit the wall and is going down quick. So the story, here's another story. Doesn't quite measure up to National Donut Day. But Saudi Arabia, the contract is coming up due on the petrodollar status. And Saudi Arabia has already said, yeah, we're not doing that. Y'all are on your own. This is a huge economic deal. I don't want to get into the woods about how this is such a key component of being able to export U.S. inflation. But that's going away. You think inflation's bad now? Of course, they'll have to hike interest rates some more. That'll be the answer. People already living on their credit cards. Let's make it more difficult. Because they live in the bubble. They don't live out here in reality. Now, the U.S., it is. It's like a woman out there and she's trying to act like, you know, she's hit the wall. She doesn't get that attention. She's trying to act more and more outrageous. You know, trying to get to notice me, Vlad. Notice me, Z. Why aren't you noticing? I hate you so much. I can't stop thinking about you. Meanwhile, Macron and the rest of them are all orbiting around going, why don't you notice me? I would make you so happy. I would treat you like the queen you are. She's not interested. But, you know, hey, relive the glory days. Talk about D-Day some more. World War II. On and on. You know, at what point in time do we move on from the Second World War? You know? I just want to say it's time to move on. You know, it's been 80 years ago. It's time to move on from World War II, but they keep bringing it up. It was a turning point in our fight against fascism and for the rules of the democracy values of who we are. Every bad guy has to be the latest Hitler. It's also tiring. Don't care. A long time ago, we're all tired of hearing about it. We're tired of hearing about how you were the homecoming queen. It's been 80 years ago, okay? Nobody cares. We don't care what sorority you were in college back in the 60s. Nobody cares, darling. Your glory is faded. It's past. Your looks are gone. You've been on the carousel way too long. Nobody cares. In fact, everybody in the world, all these countries in the world, everybody's sick of you. They're sick of you. They're sick of your drama. Sick of the drama you always bring around. You're always stirring up stuff. And everybody's just tired of you. Even Saudi Arabia, that's given you, you know, all this attention for the last 50 years, is like, yeah, no, we're not renewing this contract. It's a big deal, but you're not going to get told about it. You need to be distracted. Have a donut. I think even the green t-shirt man made an appearance at D-Day, because, you know, he's the modern day Churchill or whatever the hell he pretends to be. Got to promote his, he's, you know, they're promoting this Switzerland became a joke too here in clown world. He's promoting his ridiculous peace conference in Switzerland, and nobody's going. Nobody of any import is going. The faded ladies beta orbiters, I suppose, will go. But even Biden himself isn't going. He's going to insult him and send Kamala. They have the ridiculous peace conference. Oh, well, Russia can't come. China's already not bothering. Nobody's coming to this thing because it's so stupid. And they all know at the end of the day, it's just going to be Zelensky demanding more money. Zelensky. The green t-shirt guy, it's funny to me. Because for a while, I've seen these flashing red signs, like these hints that it's time for him to exit. I think it's time for him to exit. And he's so caught up, he's so ate up with being a celebrity, that it's like he won't take the hint. Like, the guy is just bound and determined. We all know that, you know, there's been U.S. and British and all these other, you know, special operations forces have been in Ukraine for a while. And people know this. It's pretty common knowledge, unless you're just watching the mainstream media and going down and ordering your donuts to celebrate Donut Day. But if you're not that, you know that these special ops outfits have been in the Ukraine for a while. What are they doing? What are they doing there? You know what I honestly believe? I honestly believe the primary thing that these outfits are doing is protecting Zelensky. I do. I think, because I read things and people be like, you know, looking at the casualty rates and the fact that they're just basically genociding the Ukrainians. They're basically doing to the Ukrainians in a different tactic, but they're doing to the Ukrainians what they're doing to the Palestinians. They're just genociding the Ukrainians. They're just using the Russians as a proxy. It's kind of like suicide by cop, you know? It's like when people SWAT somebody and they call 911 and say, this guy's got a gun and he's killing people in his house, to get the SWAT team to rush out to the house, hoping that somebody else will kill them. If they're SWATting the Ukraine, they're just using Russia as a SWAT team. And they're genociding the Ukrainians. And people say, why in the world? Why in the world does it somebody in the Ukrainian military, like, you know, oust Zelensky, do a coup and put an end to this? Well, I think the answer is, you know, these special ops outfits are all in the Ukraine and have been since the beginning. What do you think they're doing? They're guarding him so that that doesn't happen. And of course, the flip side of that is, at some point when Green T-Shirt Man ceases to be useful and continues to refuse to see the hints, the signs, that it's time for you to start thinking about packing up all your bags of cash and going to Israel, or Palm Beach, or wherever the hell else you need to go. Longer he stays there, all they got to do is just pull his guard duty out. You know, I have no doubt that one of the primary jobs that these special outfits, these special ops outfits from the U.S., Britain, etc., I have no doubt that one of their primary jobs they're doing right now is making sure that nobody from the Ukrainian military goes in there and takes him out, removes him in his green t-shirt. The famed green t-shirt. You make sure that doesn't happen. At some point, though, they may just decide that it's time to replace him with someone else, or he's just expended his usefulness. He's like a broken record, green t-shirt man. You know, he is like a friend or a family member. Like, you got a family member, and it doesn't matter what you got going on in your life, you know, because everybody got trouble. It's hard out here. You know, life's hard for everybody. And you got this family member, and the only time you ever hear from this guy is when he wants something and money. You know, he wants some money. He wants you to give him a ride. He wants you to give him a car. He wants you to give him some cash just to get him through. It's so important. Hey, man. And at first, you're sympathetic. Yeah, come on, he's down on his luck. I'm going to hook a brother up. He's my cousin or uncle or whatever the hell. I'm going to hook him up. But you never hear from this guy. Like, you got problems of your own. And you never hear, every time this guy calls you up, it's just because you know when he's calling. All he wants is money. What's he want this time? He's a broken record. And he wants some money, needs some more weapons. He's just on the cusp of victory any minute now. If you just give him another $50 billion, you could save the day. We could relive D-Day all over. Relive D-Day all over again. Just after a while, you just start bumping his calls because you know what he wants. Like, this, your uncle Volodymyr, whatever, you know, they do this ridiculous respelling of his name. It's Uncle Zelensky again. Gee, I wonder what he wants. You know what he wants. You're wondering how much he wants this time. Pretty soon, you just start bumping his calls, you know, bumping straight to voicemail. And you know, when you check the voicemail, it's like, this is Zelensky again. I really need $50 billion to get me through to next month. I need $50 billion to get me through to next month. But I'm telling you, next month, man, I'm going to have this thing turn around. I got a sure bet down at the racetrack. It's gonna work this time. Just call me back. Need that $50 billion. He calls back again. Hey. It's me again. It's me again, Margaret. It's me again. I haven't heard back from you, man. I really need that $50 billion, man. I called Uncle Rishi, and he said to call you, that you're the one to hook him up. You can hook me up. You know, y'all might get together and like pool some money together so I get that $50 billion, because I really need that $50 billion. And maybe some more weapons. I'm telling you, man, I got this sure bet. It's going to turn around this time. Call me back. Call me back, bro. Anyway, you got to laugh at it. I tell you, you just point the humor out because it is so ridiculous. You know, as I always say, you know, empires come and empires go away. That's just part of the cycles of history. The USSR went away. Other empires have come and gone away. And the USA, too, is in the process of going away. It's going away in the most clownish, ridiculous, and honestly, in a lot of ways, if you step out and step back away from it and don't get all emotionally wrapped in it, it's going out in some of the most clownish, absurd, and stupid, and honestly, funniest way imaginable. It's the most clownish destruction of an empire you can imagine. So, hey, you know, you just got to find some humor in it. People get too serious about these things. I mean, we talk about serious stuff here. Y'all know that. I mean, we do serious, but you can't be serious all the time. Sometimes you got to step back, especially when it concerns things that you have no control over. You don't have control over any of these things. It's much more healthy for you to step back, look at it, and just laugh and maybe have a donut. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. If you haven't checked out all our great content we've had up this week on Radio Albion, I hope you'll get a chance to click that download button below the player and maybe download it and take a listen while you're out mowing the grass, weed eating, whatever the hell you're doing on the weekend. Maybe it's your wage slave job, but you can have it in your earbuds. Maybe let you wear your earbuds. It's a way of getting back to the man while you're waging. They don't know you're listening to Radio Albion. So I hope you'll get a chance to check it out. I hope you'll have a good weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.